In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart." Yes, the word of God is living and effective today in my life and in yours. And that's the very reason why I'm offering this weekly podcast where I reflect upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. So now, please join me on Faith Moments with Dina Marie as we break open the Word of God together, inviting His Word to change our lives forever. Hi, this is Dina Marie of Faith Moments, and I want to welcome you to the Lenten journey. I hope all of you had the opportunity to enter into this 40-day season of Lent by going to Ash Wednesday and receiving those ashes and starting to look at that call to prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and what that means for you today in your life, in your relationship with Jesus Christ, in your relationship to God and to others. This isn't an independent activity. This is an activity that leads us into community. And so as we go into this first Sunday of Lent, remember a couple of things in the liturgy. Number one, we do not sing the Gloria. That is something that we refrain from in the entire season of Lent. Think about how wonderful it was to hear the Gloria during the Advent season. At least for me, I love to hear that Gloria. It takes us to the time of the birth of Christ and the angels and the shepherds and the Holy Family. And so we're refraining from that because we're entering into a different part of the life of Christ. We're entering into his Paschal mystery, you know, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And so that is a refrain, and also the Alleluia. Yes, we are not singing those during the time of Lent. So typically before we read the gospel, the priest or the deacon, there is an Alleluia that we sing together. That will not be happening during these 40 days. And of course, I hope you notice the colors are changing. There should be no decoration in the church. It should be very simple, very much penitential. And this certainly is a penitential season. So with that, I want us to think about cling to God as a bit of a thread in these readings. They're a little bit longer readings for this first Sunday of Lent. So I hope you have time to read them ahead of time, and then you'll hear them proclaimed at Mass, and then to continue to read those scriptures and to contemplate them. They're very critical to the season of Lent. You'll find out why as we get into the gospel message today. So let's begin hearing the entrance antiphon. As I mentioned in the beginning of this new year, 2026, I'm going to look into some of these antiphons and other prayers that we hear throughout the Holy Mass. And so we open with this from Psalm 91. It says, "When he calls on me, I will answer him. I will deliver him and give him glory. I will grant him length of days." And this is the Lord speaking. This is the Lord that when we cry out to him, he will answer and he will deliver us when we give him glory. Are we clinging to God? Is it God alone in your life? So let's begin on this first Sunday of Lent with this collect prayer. Let us pray. Grant, Almighty God, through the yearly observances of Holy Lent, that we may grow in understanding of the riches hidden in Christ, and by worthy conduct pursue their effects. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. Just in that collect prayer, I want us to ponder a little bit before we enter into this first reading. We're asking God that during this time, we're into this observance of Holy Lent, that we would grow in understanding. So today,
as you are entering into Lent, no matter how old you are, no matter how long you've been a Catholic, or maybe you're still preparing to become Catholic this year, that you are praying to grow in understanding. So hopefully you understand a little bit more today than you did a year ago. And we have much more to understand in how to orientate our lives to Christ, how to cling to God completely. And so we're praying for those riches that are hidden in Christ to be part of our lives. And that while we conduct our lives, it says with worthy conduct, prayer, fasting, almsgiving, you know, the way in which we live, the way in which we pray, the way in which we serve God and other, by worthy conduct, pursue their effects. So what's the effect of a holy life? I hope it's love. I hope it's at the end of the day, when we pray, when we fast, and when we give alms, is to be a person of love. Because at the end of the day, that's really how we are judged, in how we love. And so we ask all of this through our Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son, who lives and reigns with God in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God formed man out of the clay of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and so man became a living being. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east and placed there the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground, the Lord God made various trees grow that were delightful to look at and good for food, with the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, the serpent was the most cunning of all the animals that the Lord God had made. The serpent asked the woman, "Did God really tell you not to eat from any of the trees in the garden?" The woman answered the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. It is only about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, 'You shall not eat it or even touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You certainly will not die. No, God knows well that the moment you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like gods, who know what is good and what is evil." The woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eyes, and desirable for gaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The word of the Lord. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness. In the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and of my sin cleanse me. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. For I acknowledge my offense, and my sin is before me always. Against you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. A clean heart create for me, O God, and a steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not out from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Give me back the joy of your salvation, and a willing spirit sustain in me. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, through one man sin entered the world, and through sin death. And thus death came to all men, inasmuch as all sinned. For up to the time of the law, sin was in the world, though sin is not accounted when there is no law. But death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin after the pattern of the trespass of Adam, who is the type of the one who was to come. But the gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, how much more did the grace of God and the gracious gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow for the many? And the gift is not like the result of the one who sinned. For after one sin, there was the judgment that brought condemnation. But the gift, after many transgressions, brought acquittal. For if by the transgression of the one, death came to reign through that one, how much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of justification come to reign in life through the one Jesus Christ? In conclusion, just as through one transgression, condemnation came upon all, so through one righteous act, acquittal and life came to all. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. The word of the Lord. One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence and said to him, "All these I shall give you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. A couple of things that I want to reflect on for this first Sunday of Lent. And we always hear that entrance into the 40 days in the desert of Jesus being tempted. There's different versions, and this is the most extensive version that we hear in this year, cycle A. But let's just quickly go into the first reading from Genesis. And again, clinging to God, the other thread that came to me during reading these readings is the only one. You know, we only have one God. There's one God. You're not the God. And here's the tempter who is tempting Adam. Actually, he begins with Eve, doesn't he? And so all of a sudden, Adam and Eve are in this beautiful garden. They have a beautiful supernatural relationship with God. But after Eve is created, after everything else is created, and then Adam is made, then here is the companion, the complementary of man is woman, and woman comes from man to serve one another, to care for one another. This is the one that I will be with. And so the tempter goes to the woman to ask this question. Adam and Eve thus far have obeyed God and have realized there is a relationship that they have with God, the Creator. And when you start to entertain a relationship, not a relationship, when you start to entertain a conversation with temptation, you are going down the wrong road. You are going into a losing battle if you start to converse with the tempter. And this is what happens to Eve, because the tempter makes what is false seem true. And the tempter starts to make you think, well, God really wouldn't want that of me. He doesn't really want that. Or God is a jealous God, and God is a selfish God. And really, he wants some things for himself and not to care for me. So all of a sudden, we're turning our hearts away from God because of the tempter who wants to kill, who is a liar and one of deceit, and wants to turn us away from God. And so he's making that fruit seem so luscious. And when we start to enter into a conversation with temptation, looking at the wrong sites online, reading the wrong books, having a conversation with somebody we shouldn't have a conversation with, go down the list, taking a little bit out of the till, go down the list of these temptations that we have as human beings. And we can justify them. And the more we go down that road, the more that we engage in a conversation with the tempter, we are going to justify, our heart's going to be hardened, and we are going to turn away and be disobedient. We're going to have a way to justify it. And the devil is going to be right there, ready to help you justify why you're going to do the wrong thing. And it may seem so right. Well, because I'm owed this, or because I have this right, or because this, or because that. And it's all a disobedience to God. You're not clinging at that point to God. Who are you clinging to? One, you're clinging to yourself and your own fleshly desires, and you're clinging to that temptation. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, we pray, lead us not into temptation. We need to choose to say, no, get away from me, Satan, at the moment that that temptation comes to us. We cannot prevent those temptations. I remember my route driving to work for a long time was driving by this billboard. And I guess eventually I went a different route, but this billboard was awful. It was not modest at all billboard. And, you know, I just saw that every day. And I just thought, oh my goodness, I don't want to see this dehumanization of women on a large billboard, you know? And so eventually I did, I went a different route so I could avoid seeing that, but still those things are around us to tempt us, you know, to get off track. And Adam and Eve got off track. Here was the thing about Adam. He didn't protect his wife. You know, his wife is there, and here comes Leviathan to distract them from their relationship with God. And Adam didn't do what Joseph did, you know, Joseph protector, what Jesus Christ does to lead us away from evil, to protect us and to guide us. And so he allowed that doubt. He allowed that hardening of the heart. He allowed that disobedience to happen, and he engaged in disobedience. So this is a time for us to look and see, what are the temptations around us in the relationships that we have, in the workplace, in the place where I volunteer, in my own community, in the media that I pay attention to? Oh my goodness, there are so many temptations. So we're going to hear some words from Jesus to help us fight those temptations. But the three pillars of Lent are meant to help us to grow stronger in depending upon Christ and God and not in our own self. Because if we start to engage in a conversation with temptation, we are going to lose unless we have a strong relationship and are obedient to God and recognize that we're a sinner. This is the psalm today. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. We've fallen. This is the whole Psalm 51. It's highly encouraged to pray and to read Psalm 51 over and over and over again during the Lenten season. I've had it suggested as a penance to me to pray. A clean heart create for me, O God, and a steadfast spirit renew within me. We need it renewed. You know, we have a new day, and a new day, we need that renewal of spirit, that renewal of our heart to turn to the Lord today. I'm going to choose today to learn to turn to the Lord. So I'm going to jump right into the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, and we see Jesus has been baptized, right? Jesus was baptized, and then he's entering into his public ministry. But before he goes into the public ministry, the Holy Spirit guides him into these 40 days of fasting. And so he spends 40 days and 40 nights in the desert to be tempted. And it says afterwards, so after Jesus, he is fully human. Yes, he is fully divine, but he does experience in all things but sin what you and I experience in our humanity. You know, so the pain and suffering that Jesus experienced on the cross, it wasn't like he was prevented from feeling that. His body felt what your body and my body feels. And so if you spend a day or 2 days without eating or 40 days, your body's going to respond in a particular way. And Satan was thinking, oh, here's this one who thinks he's the Son of God. I'll be able to trip him up and I'll be able to just tempt him to use his power to serve himself. Right. And that's kind of that's part of the temptation is go ahead and turn these stones into bread. Because if you're the Son of God, you can feed yourself. Do you hear that call? Like when the Pharisees said, come down from the cross. If you can, if you're the Son of God, you can come down from the cross when he's nailed on the cross at the crucifixion. And yeah, Jesus could do that. But he's not going to do that to prove to you anything. He doesn't need to prove he is the Son of God. One does not live on bread alone, but only on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Cling to God. Cling to God. God alone. God alone is our Savior. And so Jesus goes back and forth. It's interesting that the devil even uses scripture to try to twist Jesus into somehow obeying him. Well, that's not going to work. He really is battling the Son of God. Satan is. And at the end of this, after we hear the three tests of Jesus, and the devil says, you know, just bow to me, and then everything else will be yours. And think about the Israelites when they started to have their own idols. And in fact, Moses is up at the top of the mountain a little bit longer than they would have liked. And so all of a sudden they're like, we want our God. We want our God. So Aaron just says, okay, we'll get a bunch of gold and we'll mold it together and we'll make this calf and that will be our God. You know, if we're so impatient that we'll have our own God. And so Satan is saying, you know, go ahead and worship me. Don't worship God, the real God. And of course, what does Jesus do? Flicks Satan right off the shoulder and says, get away, Satan. And those are the words I want us to remember. Get away. When those temptations come, get away, Satan. And you go to the Lord's Prayer and you go into holy adoration as close as you can get to an adoration chapel and you pray your prayers and you say, the Lord be with me. Holy Spirit, come. Get away from me, Satan. Get rid of these temptations. They will come, but they can go. When do you get that strength? When you're active in prayer. When do you get that strength? When you've learned how to fast. So I know that I don't depend on my own desires. Oh, I'm hungry. I'm going to eat this right now. Can you wait a little bit? You know, how many times have you had your children say, I'm hungry. I want to eat right now. Okay, 20 minutes, we have dinner. just wait another 20 minutes, wait another 30 minutes. You can wait. And I'm not patient. No, you're going to be patient. We need to learn to trust in God, not in these urges and desires that need to be done. Those are slaves. That's slavery. When we're free to choose when we're going to eat, you know what? I'm going to wait another 2 hours. I can choose that because I'm not going to just indulge because of my passions. And so God teaches us in this example, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Fasting gives us that courage to depend on God. And then almsgiving, are you going to let go of having, of possessing, of being surrounded by what you want? And by having these things and accumulating these things, or are you more concerned about giving so others can have, to be able to provide service and kindness and let go of what you have to give to others? The Lord provides opportunities for us to pray, to fast, and to give alms every day, and to flick off of our shoulder, Satan, get away from me, Satan, and to know that the Lord your God shall I worship, the Lord my God I shall worship, and him alone I shall serve. Keep that in your mind. Keep that in your heart. The Lord alone shall I worship. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Our communion antiphon for today. Let's close in prayer. O Lord our God, you fill our every need, not our every want. Grant us this Lent the grace to put our trust in you rather than in ourselves or our own desires. Purify our hearts of every evil, that we may look forward with joy to the glory of Easter. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
You have been listening to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, reflections upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. New podcast episodes are released weekly through the generous support of Mater Dei Radio. To learn more about Faith Moments with Dina Marie, visit me online at dinamarie.org. That's dinamarie.org. May you have a blessed week.